حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أما بعد فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم. صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد.
On the subject of shaitan and the tools and means he uses to misguide us. Friends, yesterday spoke about the fact that shaitan made us use our aql and use our mind that Allah has given us to oppose Allah's commands and the Amr of Allah. Instead of using our mind to know Allah's commands, Shaitan tells us to use our mind and our aql to oppose Allah's command. And what needs to be understood here is that I want to finish off what I had said yesterday, so that we get a clear understanding of what we're saying and what needs to be done and what does Shaitan do and make us do. When you look at Shaitan, he tells us that, listen, when Allah, you believe in Allah, accept Him, there's no problem with that. Believe in Him, He is Khaliq, He is Malik. But when he tells you something, that's when you have to question. You have to question, investigate, to see if this is good for you, you follow it. If it's not good for you, then don't follow it. This is a mistake that Shaitan himself had made. Shaitan accepted the fact that Allah is Khaliq. He said, right, khalaqtani, you created me, I know you are Khaliq. I mean, Shaitan knows that Allah is Khaliq. He believes that Allah is Khaliq. He believes that Allah is Rabb. He believes that Allah is Malik. Shaitan believes that. But when Allah commanded him to make sajda, then he said, but Allah, here, I think it's better if I don't do this. And Allah is saying, but you know that I am Khaliq. You know I am Malik. You know I am your Lord. And you're opposing my command. So what Allah made everyone realize, what Allah made everyone realize by making sajda to Adam, is that who just believes in Allah and who obeys Allah. The angels also believed in Allah. Shaitan also believed in Allah. But the angels and everyone else, they obeyed Allah. Shaitan did not obey Allah. So believing in Allah is not enough. It is obedience that is necessary. This is what we need to reach, my friends. If we want to serve Allah, believing in Him is not enough. It is obedience that is necessary. That's why Allah speaks to believers and says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, atiullaha wa atiur rasul wa ulil amri minkum. He says, O you who believe, Obey Allah, obey the Prophet, and those who are in charge of you, the Imams. The issue is, Allah did not command those who do not believe. Allah is not speaking to non-believers. Allah is not speaking to munafiqeen. He's saying, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. By saying this, it means that those Allah is speaking to believe in Allah, believe in the Prophet, believe in the Imams. And now, Allah is saying that, yes, you believe in me, you believe in the Prophet, you believe in the Imams, but your job is not just to believe, it is to obey. Ita'at. Obey Allah, obey the Prophet, obey the Imams. Just like Shaitan believed in Allah and disobeyed his Amr and his command, you should not be like Shaitan who obeys the Imams but says when the Imam says something, no, I won't do this. Simple like that. You know, for example, if you have a son, and your son, he says, Ana uhibbuk, you know, you're my father, I love you, I respect you, I honor you, ala ra'si, and everything. But when you say, okay, why don't you bring me a glass of water? He says, I don't have time. What do you mean? I mean, you love me, you respect me, I'm your father and everything. I ask you to do one simple thing and you can't do that? Now imagine, yes, he believes you are his father. But if he doesn't do what you say, then this relationship is useless. This acceptance is useless. This iman is useless. The same way, understand this. If you accept Allah as your Rabb, if you say, Alhamdulillah, I love Allah, Allah is so good to me and this and that, but Allah says, Hayya ala salah. He says, I don't have time. See, yes, you believe in Allah, but it means that this iman is useless. This iman that you have is useless. Right? It is the iman of Shaitan. Shaitan also believed Allah is Rabb. He is Khalik. But by not obeying Allah, then your iman is the same as Shaitan. That's Shaitan's iman. Shaitan's iman is that, yes, Allah is there. Praise Him. Put Him on a high member. You know, for example, like here in Utah, the community of Utah put me on a high member here. Morana is really good. MashaAllah, is this and that. If I ask you to do one thing, Morana, we don't have time. Why did you put me up here? I could stay down with you. If you put Allah on a high pedestal and say, yes, Allah is this, Allah is that, but He asks you to do one thing. Okay, give khumus. I worked hard for this. It's not coming out of my pocket. My friend, ita'at is what is going to make your iman useful. That's why Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu atiullah. Iman is not enough. Ita'at is necessary. Obedience is necessary. Shaitan's insinuation, Shaitan's whispers and waswasa is, believe in Allah, that's it. Look at all the people who don't believe. You believe in Allah and Allah is going to give you Jannah. Allah is saying, this is Shaitan's iman. If you want true iman, then if I ask you to do something, do it. My brothers, this is the reason why. If we love Ahlul Bayt, it is not because of them that we love them. It is because of Allah that we love them. Understand what I'm saying? If we obey them, if we love them, if we adore them, it's not because of them. Just let me ask you one question. Why did you accept the Prophet? Why did you accept Prophet Muhammad? Salawat alaikum. If he came to you and said that, listen, I am strong, I am brave, I am smart, I am intelligent, you know, and so you all accept me, believe me, would we accept him? Did we accept him for himself? Because he was great and he was strong and he was this and he was that? Did we accept him for that? Did he claim that when he came? Did he say that, listen, I am such a great person, you should accept me, believe in me, have iman in me? If he said that, would you accept him? You see, no. Rasulullah, we didn't accept you because of these things. And you never made a claim like that. When he came to you, what did he say? Ana Rasulullah. I am the messenger of Allah. Allah sent me here. We accepted him as Rasulullah, as the messenger of Allah, that I came from Allah. Because you said you came from Allah, we accepted you. Because you said you are from Allah, we accepted you. Your acceptance is because of Allah. If you have said, no, Allah didn't send me, I'm here, I'm a great person. Okay, so, my friends, understand this. We accepted Rasulullah because he is the messenger of Allah. It is because of Allah we accepted him. It is because of Allah we accepted him. He said, Rasulullah, he never made the claim, I am great, so accept me. He never said that. Did you ever hear Imam Ali saying that, listen, I am such a strong person. I did this to Khaybar. I did this in Khandaq. I killed Amr ibn Abd al-Wud. I am so strong. I am so wise. I am so this. I am doing all these things. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. Alright, if you want to give a speech, I can give you something, you know. You see, did you ever hear Imam Ali say that, listen, I am great, I am strong, so you believe in me? Did you ever hear him say that? And if he did say that, would we accept him? You see, we won't accept him. Why won't we accept him? Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. Let me give it to the mother, inshallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. One more salawat for the Imam of the time. If Imam Ali had come to us and said, I am a great man and I am strong and I am this and I am that, would we accept him? No, we didn't accept him because of these things. Why didn't we accept Imam Ali? Why did we believe in him? It's not because of that, it's because he said, Ana wasiya Rasulullah, I am the successor of the Prophet. Because Rasulullah appointed him as a successor. We believed in him. We believed in him because of that. If he had said, I'm strong, I'm this, I can kill so many people, and so you all believe in me. Okay. So what? My friends, the importance of Imam Ali is because of Rasulullah. The importance of Rasulullah is because of Allah. We don't believe in their zat. We don't just believe in them. The important thing is to understand where this command is coming from. It is because of the command of Allah we believe in Rasulullah. It is because of the command of Rasulullah we believe in Ali. We believe in Imam Hassan because Imam Ali said, Hassan is after me. We believe in him. We believe in Imam Hussein because Imam Hassan said, he is after me. This command is going back to Allah. It is Allah's command that's coming down. So do you understand that? Now, if Allah said, make sajda to Adam, Shaitan said, whoa, you know what? I am better than he is. Allah is saying, I didn't ask you if you are better than him. Don't you see, this is my amr. Is amartuk, what I commanded you. I am the one who's commanding. The importance is not of Adam. The importance is of my command. It is my command that is important. Don't look at the size of Adam. Don't say that Adam is small. It doesn't matter if Adam is small. But my command is behind him. I am commanding you. This is, my friends, very important to understand how Shaitan misguides us. Let me give you an example if you send me a salawat.
Allah.
What's the tallest building in Salt Lake City? You all live here. The church building is the tallest building?
Yes.
Okay, alright. Maybe you might have a difference of opinion, but let's say that. Alright, fine. You know? And you know how many floors are there on that? 30, 40, probably, right? Okay, it's a big building. Right? It's a big building. But at least one fact is clear. Right? One fact is clear that this building, church building, whatever it is bigger than the Kaaba. It's bigger than the Kaaba, right? Have you been to the Kaaba? It's not big. Maybe two floors, at the most three, you know, in height. That's it. It's very small. Very small compared to the buildings we have. There was Salt Lake, you know, you go to New York, you go to Chicago, you go to here and there, you go all over the world. You have so many big buildings. Huge buildings. And much more impressive and more expensive buildings. You know, there's no AC there in the Kaaba also. You go inside the Kaaba, it's hot. No AC inside there too. Here there's AC. There's all kind of modern amenities inside the building. I mean, marble bathrooms, everything. I mean, really impressive buildings, good buildings, bigger buildings, much more expensive, much more impressive. Kaaba is small, it's very small. So, we need to have a meeting with all the Muslims and say that, you know, at one time the Kaaba was big. Now it's small. It's small. All the rest of the buildings are bigger. Much more impressive. So let's all get together and decide as Muslims that instead of the Kaaba, we will make sajda to one of these big buildings that we choose. The biggest building that we have, we will make sajda to that. How about that? Because all these buildings are so big and the Kaaba is so small. Now, will any Muslim agree with that? There might be some idiots in America. You know, I'd say it. But you see, Muslims, if any Muslim say that no, let's worship, let's make sajda to something else other than the Kaaba, they will all say he is a murtad. He is left Islam. What is your qibla? He says, Kaaba. That's my qibla. Okay, let's make our qibla somewhere else because the Kaaba is small and the buildings are big. Why don't you do that? Well, it's not about the size of the Kaaba. It's not about how small the Kaaba is. Then what is it about? My friends, understand this. Why are we making Kaaba our qibla? It's not the size of the Kaaba that's important. It's the Amr of Allah that is behind the Kaaba. It is the command of Allah that's behind the Kaaba. Allah said make sajda there, so we are making sajda there. Do you understand that? Allah is saying, this is the place of sajda. That's why we are doing it. Not because of the Kaaba. Just like that, if we believe in Imam, it is not because of the Imam, it is because of Rasulullah. If we believe in Rasulullah, it's not because of Rasulullah, it's because of Allah. The whole issue is the Amr of Allah. If you truly believe in Allah, then you will obey Him. If you obey Him, then you will obey everything that He says. If He tells you to make sajda to Adam, do not look at the size of Adam, just make sajda. It is Allah's command that is asking you to do it. If you are told to go and make obedience to something, then obey it. My friends, we don't look at the size of Ahlul Bayt. We look at The amr that is behind them, the command that is behind them, we are obeying Ahlul Bayt. Now understand this. So the importance of the Imam is from Rasulullah. The importance of Rasulullah is from the Imam, from Allah. Allah appointed Rasulullah, so we believed in him. Rasulullah appointed the Imam, so we believed in him. We came all the way down to Imam al-Zaman. To Imam al-Zaman. We came down to him. Now Imam al-Zaman, when we looked at him, his acceptance, we believe in him because of Allah. Now if he tells us, if Imam al-Zaman tells us, now you go and obey the fuqaha and the faqih. Now don't look at the size of the faqih and say, oh, he's ghair masoom, he's not this. It doesn't matter if he's ghair masoom, it is the command of the Imam that is behind him. We don't look at the faqih and say, oh, look at the size of the imama. No faqih, no mujtahid ever said, look at the size of my imama, believe in me. Look at how many books I've written, believe in me. No mujtahid has ever said this. No faqih has ever said this. And if he did, we would not believe in him. The only reason we believe in him, the only reason we follow him, is because our Imam had said so. So the importance is not of the faqih, it is the command of the Imam that is behind the faqih. And if we don't believe in him, it means we don't believe in the Imam. If we don't believe in the Imam, we don't believe in Rasulullah. If we don't believe in Rasulullah, we don't believe in Allah. In other words, if you don't follow the faqih, you do not follow Allah. You do not follow Allah. It is the same as the ibadat of shaitan. Shaitan is saying, Adam, no, Allah, you, yes. You are my Khaliq, I accept you, but I will not follow your command. This is the ibadat of shaitan. This is shaitan's iman, my friends. Understand this? This is where it comes down to. And we need to understand that. Just like the Kaaba is small, but Allah command, you make sajda there. Not to the Sears Tower. So we may sajda towards the Kaaba. Even though the Kaaba is small. We are told to follow the faqih. The faqih is small. He is very small compared to Ahlul Bayt, compared to the Imams. He is not masoom, he is ghair masoom. But the importance is not about his size or about his ismat or anything. The importance is that Imam is saying, our Imam and Masoom is saying, you follow him. That's why you follow him. Because his command is behind him. See, that is what's important, my friends. Understand? Otherwise, we will be like Shaitan who's saying, Allah, I believe you, but if you say to make sajda to Adam, I won't. He's too small for me. And this is that misguidance that Shaitan gives us. He says, yes, accept them, but do not follow them. He says, accept Imam Ali. He's great, he's brave. Talk about him, praise him. But when he tells you to do something, don't do it. Think about it. Make sure it's right for you. He's telling us to do this. This is why we will be in a loss if we do that. There's one more point I will make. And inshallah, the next 2 days, I will try to conclude about the misguidance of Shaitan. How he has misguided us and what are the ways he uses to misguide us. You know, and obviously the conclusion is important to know how exactly is he doing it now. What is he doing right now to misguide us? Most of us are misguided because of the fact that we don't know what he's doing to us, what he's doing to the religion. But inshallah, that will come in the next 2 days. Right now, just one point so that we understand something from it. Because we are living here in America. In America, one of the things that happens, my friends, is that, and this is everywhere else nowadays, because we are in such a bad situation. We are in such a bad situation right now. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. That we see a lot of bad around us, evil around us, right? We see a lot of evil around us, and we see the evil around us, we look at that evil, right? We look at that evil, and we say that, you know what, it's hard to be good nowadays. Because every time you go outside, you see something evil. Even if you don't want to, you see it. Right? You're walking, you're driving down the road and you see a billboard with a naked woman on there. It's astaghfirullah. But what can you do? You already saw it. Right? And yes, there are those who have wives, can ring them up and, hey wife, I'm coming home, stay there. But if you don't have a wife, you're just out of luck. Right? You're in a tough situation now. And you blame the pressure of the society for the wrongs that we do. Right? The wrongs that we do, we blame the pressure of the society. Oh, look at the society is making me do this. This is making me do that. But I want you to understand this, my friends. Right? And I want you to go back to the incident of Habil and Qabil. Right? Habil and Qabil. In that society, in that jamia, what was the evil influence? What was the evil influence of that affected the brother? What was the evil influence there? Was Adam the evil influence? No. Was Hawa the evil influence? No. Was Habil the evil influence? No. Well, that was the whole society there. There was no other person there. No other person. Just four. That was insaniyat at that time. The whole of humanity was right there. Four people. Adam, Hawa, Habil and Qabil. Just four. And in that four, where there's no evil influence, no bad influence, no billboards, no TV, no commercials, no nothing. Everyone is pure. No one has seen a sin before. No one has experienced a sin before. In a society so pure, you see still Qabil committed a crime and a sin. He committed a crime and a sin. And Allah is giving us this example. One of the reasons Allah is giving us his example is to understand that the first sin and the first crime that was made by man on earth, the first crime that was made by man on earth, that was committed by man on earth, was not because of the society or the pressure of society, it was because of the nafs of man. His own nafs and his own desires. My friends, it is not the society that makes us bad. It is the nafs that makes us bad. It is not the society that's doing it. The society is just inviting us, but it is the nafs that is pushing us. It is the society that's inviting us to do sin, but it is the nafs that is pushing us. So do not blame the society, blame your nafs. If you do wrong, then look at your own self and say, how can I improve my nafs? How can I get this strong? Blaming the society is only an excuse. It's like, you know there's something wrong in you, but you're in denial. No, my friends, the first sin is from the nafs. It is the nafs that makes us sin. And so, here we need to look at our own nafs and make it strong. Because it is the nafs, it is our own selves that make us go wrong. And Allah gave the example of Qabil to make us understand that. What was the reason there? Where did he learn about this? Which advertisement, which TV show, which movie did he watch to learn this? Oh, there was nothing, but he still did it. So it means, even if you don't have anything, if our nafs is bad, it will still do bad. That's why it said that when Imam Zaman will come and he will establish his hukumat and the government of adl, justice, where everything will be peaceful and harmony, he will still be killed. He'll still be assassinated. So at that time, what will be the mistake? He said, yes, he will take away the pressures of society, but he cannot take away your nafs. Your nafs will be there. Social pressure won't be there. Evil won't exist in the society. There won't be any bad movies or bad things. No. But the nafs of insan will still be there. And as long as the nafs is there, it can do wrong. Even if the imam establishes his government. You cannot change the nafs. The nafs is going to be there. And hence we are encouraged to control our nafs. And inshallah, that is a reminder for everyone here, for myself also, that this is where we need to work on, what we need to work on. Do not worry about shaitan. Shaitan cannot make you do things. It is your nafs that makes you do things, not shaitan. As I said, shaitan is like a billboard you see on the highway, or an advertisement, a commercial. He's nothing more than that. He's just inviting you. It is your nafs that pushes you there, my friends. Remember that. And if we can control our nafs, shaitan cannot do anything to us. Just as a reminder for us, so that we can work on ourselves. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Give us the wisdom to understand His guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us His helper when He comes. Wa akhirat da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salawat alhamdulillah.